Good evening. This Shabbos is Parshas Vayishlach, the eighth Parsha of Chumash. As many of the Svarim that talk about the Parshios make note of the number of the Parsha, we know that there are, according to the Zohar HaKadosh, 53 Parshios, Gan Parshios in the Torah, Gan Garden, the Garden of Torah. Although, if you really count them separately, you'll see there are 54 parashiyos, but as many say, Nitzavim Vayelech is considered one parasha, or Vezois HaBrach is never read on Shabbos. So every parasha is unique, every parasha is a number, every parasha is in a certain order. And Vayishlach is the eighth parasha of Chumash. As we get ready for the Yom Tov of Eight that we've been speaking about, the Yom Tov of Chanukah, Yom Yedah Chanukah Tamanya Inun. And it's interesting that if one takes a look, we once spoke about this, that in every Sefer of Chumash, one takes a look at the eighth parasha of that particular Sefer, you will see that in every one of those parashas, there's a discussion of the number eight and about oil. This week, the parasha talks about the eight kings that ruled before the Jews ever had a king at the end of Parashas Vayishlach, the Eilah HaMalachim Asher Molchu, Be'edoim lifnei melach melach lifnei Yisrael, and there are eight kings. The Svarim will speak about the Shmoyna Melachim of Esav. And in this parasha, once again, we talk about oil. Vayitzayk oleh ha-shomen, Yaakov pours the oil that he promised that we read last week that he was going to bring when he came back to Eretz Yisrael, and he does so. In Parashas Tetzaveh, which is the eighth parasha of Sefer Shemois, we talk about the Kohen Gadol, who wore eight clothes. And there, the Atot Tetzava es Bnei Yisrael v'yikhu elecha shemen zayizuch, which the Balaturim and the Svarim talk about how that has to do with Chanukah, comes right after the word nechoshes, which is the last word of Truma. Nechoshes, Rosh HaTevis, ner shel Chanukah tadliku, nechoshes is keneged yovan. So Tetzava also, eighth parasha of Shemois, talks about that which is eight, Kohen Gadol, wore eight clothes, Matis Yehu Kohen Gadol. And also about Shemen. In the Sefer Vayikra, the eighth parasha of Chumash is Parashas Emor. And there also, V'yikhu elecho Shemen Zayizach. In fact, there the Rekeach says, that's a remez to Chanukah, because it comes right after Sukkot, after it talks about Sukkot and Shmini Atzeres. It mentions the mitzvah of Shemen Zayizach to bring to the Menorah. So there you have Shemen, and you have Shmini Atzeres. And you have the mitzvah of a korban has to be 8 days old. You're not allowed to bring a korban, an animal, before it's 8 days old. Miyom hashmini v'hola. So that's Emor, the eighth parasha of Sefer Vayikra. The eighth parasha of Sefer Bamidbar is Pinchas. Pinchas, who all koyhanim gedolim come from Pinchas, as Tosfos says in Zvachim Kufalav Amud Beis. Bris kahunas oilam, that was one of the rewards of Pinchas ze Eliyahu, that all the Kohen Gadol, all the future Kohanim Gedolim are his descendants, including Matis Yahu. Pinchas is the gematria of Hashem's name 8 times. Yudkei Vovkei multiplied by 8. That's 208. That's Pinchas. Pinchas, the eighth parasha of Sefer Bamidbar. And there it talks about Shmini Atzeres, as mentioned last week. And there it talks about oil over and over again, because that's the parasha that has about the Karbonis and about the Shemen, the Nesachim. And when we get to the eighth parasha of Sefer Devarim, which is Nitzavim, although there the word Shemen is not mentioned, but Nitzavim is the parasha that talks about Mashiach. Nitzavim is the parasha that talks about the promise that there will be a Geula, Yim Yihi and Nidachacha B'Ktzei HaShomayim, Misham Yikabetzcha, Hashem Alekecho, Misham Yikachecho, and the parasha of Tshuva, and all that is also connected with 8. Mashiach is going to introduce the world of 8. As we spoke last week, Mashiach is from the Shmoina Nasiche Bnei Adam, as the Pasuk says in Zechariah, the Gemara in Sukkah talks about that. So every eighth parasha has something to do with 8, oil, Mashiach, Tshuva. And this one, Vayishlach, is the parasha that prepares us for the upcoming Yom Tov of Chanukah. So we find in this parasha, that was sort of a parenthesis, we find in this parasha a number of topics. There's a lot of topics in this parasha. It's a very, very rich parasha. There's a lot to talk about. We only have a certain amount of time, so we'll focus on some ideas and their relation to Chanukah, the upcoming Yom Tov of Chanukah. And one of them is, this is the first parasha that the word Yisroel is mentioned. And as we speak here many times from the Pri Tzadik, that when a word or a topic mentioned for the first time, that is the source, the root of that topic or that word. And the word Yisrael, a word that we're all very familiar with, is found for the first time in Parshas Vayishlach. Here is where Yaakov Avinu's name is changed to Yisrael. The Malach, he has a meeting, an encounter with the Malach, who Chazal tell us is Soroy Shel Esav, although there's an opinion in the Medrash that it was Michoel, but Rashi quotes the opinion which the majority hold, that this was Soroy Shel Esav, the Samach Mem himself, the Satan, the Yetzahara, by Yeovek Ish Imoy. And there, the Malach changes his name to Yisrael. That's the bracha that he gives him. And not only one time, the Torah says it again later on, as we move on in the parasha further, after the story of Shechem and Dinah, when Yaakov is finally returning back to Eretz Yisrael, he again has a vision, Hashem appears to him, and there calls him Yisrael. But it's more than that, because this is also the first parasha that the phrase B'nai Yisrael appears. And here we find something highly unusual, or something that requires an explanation, actually, because B'nai Yisrael is the phrase that is used when we're talking about the Jewish people, when they are a nation. They're not a nation yet. And one might think, in fact, that when it says over here B'nai Yisrael, perhaps it's talking about the sons of Yisrael, meaning the sons of Yaakov. But clearly, as we'll see, the Mishnah in Chulin, the Gemara in Chulin tells us not like that. This is where it talks about the Gid Hanosha. This is the only time the Torah talks to us about this is the ninth mitzvah of all the mitzvahs, starting with the seven mitzvahs B'nai Noyach, and then Mila, we had the eighth mitzvah in Parshas Lech Lecha. Here comes the ninth mitzvah, which is that one is not allowed to eat the Gid Hanosha, sciatic nerve, sinew, whatever exactly this is. The Gid Hanosha, which is located on between the knee and the hip, Kaf Hayerech, the meat above looks like a kaf, like a spoon. The meat above the thigh, which is where the Malach was able to, he was able to conquer something of Yaakov. He wasn't able to really do anything, but he was able to take the foot of Yaakov and dislocate the bone here, dislocate the kaf hayerech. And as a result, the Torah tells us, Al kein lo yoichlu b'nei Yisrael is gid hanoshe asher al kaf hayorech ad hayoim hazeh. Ki noga b'chaf yerech Yaakov b'gid hanoshe. Because the Malach was able to touch Yaakov over there, and he was able to cause some harm, Yaakov was limping. Says he was limping, even though he was healed. V'hutzoy le'a al yerechoy, as the Torah tells us, he tried to get Yaakov himself, so he couldn't, so instead he got his foot. So as a result, the Torah tells us, we do not eat Gid Hanoshe till today, Ad Hayoyim Hazeh. Interesting, you don't find that by any other mitzvah. The mitzvah is done Ad Hayoyim Hazeh. The Torah doesn't say, keep Shabbos Ad Hayoyim Hazeh. Here it says Ad Hayoyim Hazeh, unusual. And here it says, Al Kein Lo Yoichlu B'nei Yisrael is Gid Hanoshe. There are no B'nei Yisrael yet. And yet the phrase B'nei Yisrael appears here for the first time. The Mishnah in Chulin, when the Mishnah talks about, there's a parrot called Gid Hanoshe in Chulin. So the Mishnah there tells us that the mitzvah of Gid Hanoshe is only by kosher animals and not by non-kosher animals. Rabbi Yehuda says, even by non-kosher animals. So Amar Rabbi Yehuda, is this prohibition mentioned in Chumash? By the B'nai Yaakov. And at that time, there was no such thing as kosher and non-kosher animals. They were allowed to eat non-kosher animals, but they weren't allowed to eat the Gid Hanoshe. So Rabbi Yehuda says, doesn't that indicate that the mitzvah of Gid Hanoshe is by non-kosher animals too? So this is what the Chachamim answer Rabbi Yehuda. B'Sinai Nemar. This pasuk was not really said here. This pasuk was said on Har Sinai. And Moshe Rabbeinu inserted this pasuk here in Parshas Vayishlach. She'nichtav b'mkoymoy. Now, further on in the Gemara here, in Kuf Aleph Amud Beis, the Gemara is bothered why we refer to the Jewish people as B'nai Yisrael at that time. And the Gemara says over here, they're not called B'nai Yisrael until Sinai. Elisha nichtav b'mkoymoy leida me'ezetam nesar lohem. The pasuk is written here, but it wasn't really said here. It was said later on. This is the famous Pirush HaMishnayos LaRambam right here, where the Rambam says that mitzvahs that we do only because it was given to Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai. He gives an example like Mila, for example. Bris Mila was given to Avraham Avinu, but that's not why we keep Bris Mila.
because that was before the Torah was given. We keep Bris Milah because Moshe Rabbeinu taught it on Har Sinai, Yavayam Hashmini Yimol Besar Elosai. And the same is with the Gid HaNoshe. Interesting, the Gid HaNoshe is not repeated again. Gid HaNoshe is not mentioned any other time in Chumash except here, and that's it. So here is where B'nai Yisrael is mentioned for the first time. And as we'll soon see, there's a difficulty with this, which we'll try to explain why B'nai Yisrael is first found over here. Now, B'nai Yisrael means all the Shvatim. Almost all the Shvatim were born. Let's remember, Binyamin wasn't born yet. Binyamin is coming. He's born a little later in the parasha. After Shishi, Rachel dies in childbirth. In fact, there were triplets. She had two other children. She gave birth to two girls too. Gamez says, Rashi says, Binyamin was born with two girls. He was a triplet. Unlike the Shvatim, that were all twins. They were all twins. They all had achayos ta'aymos, according to one opinion. They married them. Binyamin was a triplet. So Binyamin's not born yet. If Binyamin's not born yet, B'nai Yisrael are not complete. So it's interesting that we're referring to Klal Yisrael or to the children of Yaakov here as B'nai Yisrael, and Binyamin's not even here yet. So this parasha is where Binyamin is born, and now the Shvatim have been completed. Yaakov Avinu knew he's going to have 12 children. And as the Pasuk says later, after Binyamin is born, Vayiyu B'nai Yaakov Shneim Osor. And as Rashi says in the parasha, now that Binyamin was born, Nishlama Hamita, and now they are roy to be counted. Vayihiyu, B'nai Yaakov, Shneim Osor, B'nai Leah, B'nai Rachel, because everyone's here now. We have the entire clan. Everyone is here. Binyamin, in fact, is the letters Minyan Yud Beis, the number 12. Binyamin is number 12. He's the 12th son, the last child. We're all here now. The entire Klal Yisrael that come from these 12 Shvatim are now here. So, B'nai Yisrael. So, the issue over here is this. First of all, Yisrael, as the Or HaChaim HaKadosh tells us, is the name of Klal Yisrael when they are on a high, when they are doing what they're supposed to. When we are doing the will of Hashem, specifically when we're living in Eretz Yisrael, when we have a Beis HaMikdash, we deserve the title Yisrael. If not, we're referred to as Yaakov. And there are other interpretations. Yaakov is the Guf, Yisrael is the Neshama, Yaakov is Torah Shebiksav, Yisrael is Torah Shebal Peh. There are many different interpretations explaining the difference between Yaakov and Yisrael, because even though Yaakov's name was changed to Yisrael, we still call him Yaakov. In fact, the Pasuk right afterwards continues to call him Yaakov. Unlike Avraham, who once his name was changed from Avram to Avraham, you're not allowed to call him Avram anymore. Avram is a Jew. Avram is not. Yaakov and Yisrael are still the two names of Yaakov Avinu. And sometimes the Torah refers to him as Yaakov. Sometimes the Torah refers to him as Yisrael. And throughout Tanakh, sometimes we say, Tzaveh Yeshua is Yaakov. Eis Tzorehili Yaakov, and sometimes we're referred to as Yisrael. So why is it that way? So the Rechaim HaKadosh says, in many places, sometimes it's difficult, you have to try to figure it out, but Yaakov is usually when we are not doing what we're supposed to, we're called Yaakov, Miloshen Ekev. Ekev is all the way on the bottom. Yisrael is the letters Li Roish on the top. Yisrael comes from the word Sar, Prince. So Risa Emelahim V'imanoshim V'atuchal, as it says here in the parasha, why his name was Yisrael. He defeated the Satan. When someone conquers his Yetzirah, a person becomes a tzaddik, he's no longer bothered by his Yetzirah, he is Yisrael. If not, he's Yaakov. In fact, when the Malach was asked, Yaakov asks him, what's your name? So he said, Lamozet Tishal Shmi. You don't have to ask me my name, you can figure it out. If you take the word Yisroel and you subtract Yaakov from Yisroel, the Svarim HaKadoshim tell us this, it's equal to Satan. That means Yisroel is 541. Yaakov is 182. So 541 minus 182 is 359. So Yaakov plus Satan is equal to Yisroel. And that was Yisroel. When is he called Yisroel? When he conquers the Satan. When Yaakov conquers the Satan, he grabs him, he has the Satan now, then he's Yisrael. So Yisrael means someone who conquers his Yetzirah, someone who's on a high madrega. Yaakov is not. So here's the question. Pertaining to Chanukah, for example, we find in the nusach of the Alanisim that we say on Chanukah. Chanukah was instituted, as the Gemara says, lahalel v'hoido'o. We say full halal every day of Chanukah, and we also say Alanisim. In the Alanisim, we notice a major difference between the Alanisim of Chanukah and the Alanisim of Purim. In the Alanisim of Chanukah, we say, k'shenichnusu yevonim lahechol, timu kol hashmanim, b'mei malchus har omda malchus har isha al amcha Yisrael, lahashkichan teirasecha. The Syrian Greeks rose to power over the Jewish people, and there we are referred to as Yisrael. Not only that, again, later on, ula amcha Yisrael osisa teshua gedoilu furkan kahayoyim hazeh. Twice in the Alanisim, we are referred to as Yisrael. Purim, not one word of Yisrael. In fact, we say Shoshanas Yaakov. We don't say Shoshanas Yisrael. Shoshanas Yaakov. And in the Alanisim of Chanukah, we don't say Olamcha Yaakov, Olamcha Yisrael. So this is a major question, because on Chanukah, we mentioned this last week, Klal Yisrael, we're not on a high madriga at all. In fact, the nace of Chanukah was that even though we didn't deserve it, Hashem gave it to us anyway. That's what Matas Yohu means, Matas Hashem, present from God. It was a gift. We didn't deserve it. Where do you find that they did shuva? Where do you find that they fasted? Do you find that they were Nisoyre? It was the Maccabees. There were many, many Jews that fell away, many Jews who joined the Yevonim, the Mesiavdim, and so on. They were on a very, very low Madrega, and as the Bach writes in his introduction to Hilchas Chanukah, that they were guilty of Hisrashlus. There was a rifyon in Torah, the Avodah was not the way it should be. So they were not on a high madrega at all. So why do we refer to them as Yisrael? Why? Purim, they weren't either. Purim, the Gemara says, but there the Gemara specifies what the Avera was. Whether it was because they enjoyed Achashverosh's Suda, or because they had bowed to the statue in the time of the Nebuchadnezzar, but it sounds like that's really what the Chet was. That's it. It wasn't like in the time of the Yevonim, it was a lot worse. They want a much lower madrega, but yet Purim we don't say the word Yisrael, and Chanukah we do. So some say because Chanukah happened in Eretz Yisrael, the Nes was in Eretz Yisrael. In fact, we even had a Beis Hamikdash. Purim was in Persia, in Iran. Purim was outside of Eretz Yisrael. Akati Abdi Dachashverosh Anan. So that's why it says Yaakov. Chanukah we were zeichet to some sort of independence. So we say full Hallel. The Gemara says in Megillah we don't say Hallel on Purim because we were still subservient to Achashverosh. But Chanukah was not like that. And then for the next 200 years, as the Rambam writes in Hilchas Chanukah, Chazra Malchus Yisrael. So they're independent now. They're not, it's Halu Avdei Hashem V'loy Avdei Paroi. So that's why Yisrael here and Yaakov over here. But that doesn't explain why we should be called Yisrael if we were not on the Madrega. We had fallen very, very low. And if not for the fact that Hashem stepped in, and not for the fact that the Chashmoinoyim did what they did, who knows what would have happened to Klal Yisrael? So why is the word Yisrael used? And not only once, but twice. Now, this same question can be posed here, too, by the Gid HaNosha. So in order to understand this question, Zohar HaKadosh tells us here in this week's parasha, in Parashas Vayishlach, every one of the 365 Loisaseis in the Torah correspond to a different Gid, different sinew, and they also correspond to a different day of the year. There are 365 days. So the Zohar HaKadosh says that Gid HaNosha corresponds to Tisha B'Av. Al Kein Lo Yoichlu B'nei Yisrael as Gid HaNosha. It's Esses, Tisha B'Av. Meaning, as the Chassam Sofer speaks about it in this week's parasha as well, when the Malach dislocated the Kaf HaYorech, the Gid HaNosha, as a result, there was Churban Beis HaMikdash. The reason why the Beis HaMikdash was able to be destroyed was because the Tsar of Esav had dislocated the Kaf HaYerech. That led to Churban Beis HaMikdash. As a remez, perhaps we could say, Noga Bechaf Yerech Yaakov Begid HaNosha is Begematria Ohafti Me'ein Beisecha. Pasuk in Tehillim referring to the Beis HaMikdash. This causes later Churban Beis HaMikdash. In fact, according to the opinion of the Chachamim in the Mishnah and Gid HaNosha, the Malach actually dislocated both the right and the left feet of Yaakov Avinu, the Yamin and the Smoil, and therefore the Ister is to eat the right Gid HaNosha and the left Gid HaNosha. Rabbi Yehuda argues, Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah says only the right, because it says, HaYerech HaMiyumenes, so it's only the right. But the Chachamim, and that's the Psak Din, it's both, right, left, doesn't matter. So what's really going on over here? What's this Malach doing? What's this battle about? Right and left, and it's defeat. He wasn't able to attack Yaakov's head. He wasn't able to attack the torso. He wasn't able to attack his hands, but he was able to get his feet. Now, there is an interpretation that he was trying to prevent Yaakov from having his 12th shevet, knowing that if once Binyamin is born, there will be Klal Yisrael, there will be Bnei Yisrael, and then forever, that's Am Yisrael. So he's trying to prevent Yaakov from having another child. It's Yidua that in Chumash, when it says Yoytze Yerech, it refers to children. So Vayar Ki Lo Yochel Loi, the Malach sees that he cannot attack Yaakov himself, so he tries to get his children, his future, the descendants. In fact, that's what really happens, because as a result of this, later on in history, many, many Jews fall, and there's Churban, and there's a Dor of Shmad, and there are those who unfortunately are in the wrong place, as we mentioned last week, at the left or outside. It's all because of this story here, because the Malach was able to dislocate the Kaf HaYerech. So this leads to Churban Beis HaMikdash, which with that we can understand why Gid HaNoshe corresponds to Tisha B'Av. In fact, Tisha B'Av is on the ninth day of, and Gid HaNoshe is the ninth mitzvah. Now, the Svarim HaKadoshim explained to us, based on that which, for those of us that are familiar with the Sifrei Chassid, the Sifrei Kabbalah, that speak about the Sefirot, this is based on the Pasuk in Vayivarech David, which is every day in davening, so this is not something that is way out, it's something every single day we say it. L'cho Hashem ha-gedula v'ha-gevura v'ha-teferes v'ha-netzach v'ha-hoid. There are seven Sefirot, but mainly five. That's from Chesed to Hoid. That's why sometimes in Chumash, the Sukkim will talk about the seven nations. Sometimes it'll only mention five. Because it's really five spheres. The last two are just encompassing. They're, the Yesod and Malchus are encompassing spheres. So Yaakov Avinu is, his body represented the entire Klal Yisrael. And his body, Gemara says that Yaakov was like Adam Arishon, Me'en Shufrei, the Adam Arishon. And every part of Yaakov corresponds to another sphere. His head, of course, is Chabad, is Chochma Bina Das, or Kesa Chochma Bina, or Deya Bina Haskel, whatever your nusach is. His right hand is Chesed, the left hand is Gevura, L'cho Hashem HaGedula, V'HaGevura, the torso, that's Teferes, and the legs, there's the right leg is Netzach, and the left leg is Hoid. The Gemara tells us in Brachas Dafnon Ches, it's not a Kabbalah Sefer, the Gemara says this in Brachas, that Netzach is Yerushalayim and Hoid is Beis HaMikdash. V'ha-Netzach zu Yerushalayim v'ha-Hoid zu hi Beis HaMikdash. That means the Malach, by attacking Yaakov's feet, is attacking Yerushalayim and he's attacking the Beis HaMikdash. That's the right foot and the left foot. The right is Netzach. It's on the right. Ne'imois b'minecha Netzach, as the Pasuk says in Tehillim. And the left, that's Hoid. That's the left foot. Yamin is Chesed, Hoid is Gevura, and Yamin is Purim, and Hoid is Chanukah. And that means that this Malach was after Purim and Chanukah. He was after Yerushalayim, he was after the Beis HaMikdash, he was after the future of Klal Yisrael, and he was after Purim, and he was after Chanukah, and he was after Binyamin, and it's all one idea. Binyamin is born in this week's parasha. When we have Binyamin, we have concluded not only Am Yisrael, we have every Yom Tov that Klal Yisrael are going to have. There are five Yomim Tovim that we have, basically. There's Pesach, which is the right hand. There's Shavuos, that's the left hand. Sukkos is the body. In fact, that's who Yaakov really is. Yaakov is Sukkos. Avram is Pesach. Yitzchak is Shavuos. Yaakov is Sukkos. And then there's Chanukah on the left, Purim on the right. Purim is the right foot. Chanukah is the left foot. Churban Beis HaMikdash, Churban Yerushalayim, is because of this story, because the Malach dislocates the Gid HaNoshe. In fact, as mentioned before, Chanukah and Purim are the two Yomim Tovim, says the Chedushei Arim, that Hashem gave us to comfort us, Bizman HaGolus, both in times of concealment. We spoke extensively last week about Chanukah being on the left and outside and at night and below 10 Tfachim. I mean, so is Purim. Purim is the Yom Tov of Hester Panim, Esther, Anoichi Haster Astir Ponai Bayoim Hahu, Esther and Atar Menayim, Gemara and Chulin, Kuflametes Amid Beis, that Purim is in the time of Hester. In fact, during the time of Purim, there was no Beis HaMikdash, and we were living in Paras, we were outside of Eretz Yisrael, and we were zeichet to this great nes of Purim, Bizman HaGolus. So Purim is the tikkun for the yamin, for the right leg of Yaakov that was dislocated. Chanukah is the tikkun for the left leg of Yaakov that was dislocated. The two Gid Hanoshes. If we take a look in the psukim, it's amazing. One takes a look in these psukim here, where the pasuk says, Vayiga bechaf yerechoi. Vayiga is begematria Chanukah. And kaf yerechoi is begematria Purim. Because those are the two yamim toivim that he's trying to hit. He's trying to get these two yamim toivim, because with these two yamim toivim, we don't have to be afraid of the satan anymore. With these two yamim toivim that we have, there's a tikkun for everyone, as we mentioned, what Chanukah is and Purim as well. And with these two yamim toivim, which are actually both included in Binyamin, as we'll soon see, Klal Yisrael, yesh tikva. There's hope for Klal Yisrael. In these psukim itself, the pasuk tells us that the Gid HaNoshe is found asher al kaf hayorech. The Gid HaNoshe is located on kaf hayorech, on the top of the thigh. Now that phrase, asher al kaf hayorech, if one adds it up, you'll see it's equal to 936. And you'll say, so what? So the Svarim speak to us, the Bnei Yisoschar extensively, the Imre Noyam, Ateres Yeshu, all the Svarim to talk about Chanukah and Purim, that is a very, very, this is a very important number, 936. 936 is the gematria of 13 times chesed. If you take the word chesed, which is 72, and you multiply it by 13, you get 936. That's invoking the 13 midos harachamim, 13 times chesed. That's 936. Both Chanukah and Purim are times when the 13 midos harachamim are revealed. Purim is Yidua, it's on the 13th day of Adar, that's when the annihilation was supposed to take place. Purim has a lot to do with 13. In fact, when there's a leap year like this year, Purim is going to be in the 13th month, Adar Sheni. And Chanukah, as we know, there were 13 Maccabees, and they breached, the Yevonim breached in the wall around the Beis HaMikdash, 13 Yud Gimel Pirtzos. So both have to do with 13, and during the Yom Tov of Purim and Chanukah, there is a Hizgalus, a revelation of the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim. So Asher Al Kaf HaYorech is Begamatria 936, and that's related to Purim and to Chanukah. On Purim we say, Asher Yishletu HaYehudim, the Jews rule. Asher Yishletu HaYehudim is 936, and that's equal to Asher Al Kaf HaYorech. There's a pasuk in Micha, Ki Eishev B'Choshech Hashem Orli. Despite that I sit in darkness, Hashem is my light. All the Svarim say that's Chanukah, that in the time of Choshech, there's Or. Ki Eishev B'Choshech Hashem Orli is also equal to 936. That means this phrase, Asher Al Kaf HaYorech, Gid HaNoshe, it's Purim, Asher Yishletu HaYehudim, Chanukah, Ki Eishev B'Choshech Hashem Orli, and both of these Yamim Toivim are Yamim Toivim where we're allowed to go into the boundary of Esav, as mentioned last week. We're not worried about Esav. We're not afraid of Esav on Chanukah, and we're not afraid of him on Purim. In fact, on Purim, the Achashverosh gave the Jews permission to fight the enemy. With which the pasuk tells us, in other words, they did things which normally Jews don't do. The sefer called Zera Shimshon, the Zera Shimshon speaks about, as we spoke about last week, the oaths that Klal Yisrael were made to swear that Bizman HaGolus, we don't rebel against the nations, and yet they went out and they fought, and they killed 75,000 goyim and so on. And he says this thing. He says that there are two shvuos that were dependent one on the other. There was the shvua that the goyim are not supposed to make the Jews suffers too much, and then there's the shvua that we're not allowed to rebel against the nation. So he says, if they don't keep to their end of the deal, we don't have to keep to ours, which many say could be in effect today, especially after the Holocaust, although it's a matter of a dispute. Says the Zera Shimshon, in the time of Purim, they were allowed to rebel against the nations, meaning they were allowed, in other words, fight the nations, even though they were in Golis. It's not Geula yet. Mashiach hasn't come. What right do they have to go fight the nations? But they were given permission to do so. And also because at that time, Hama wanted to annihilate all the Jews. So they violated their end of the oath. We were able to violate ours. Meaning, Purim is a time of Asher Yishletu HaYehudim, even though it's Golus. The Esav can't say anything. Amalek can't say anything. The Satan can't say anything. And the same thing is Chanukah, as we mentioned, that Chanukah is the whole Yom Tov was instituted, that it's in the domain of Esav on the left and below 10 Tfachim and outside and when it's dark, which these are all the Rishus of Esav, the Rishus of Edoim. So because the Malach dislocated these two Gid HaNoshe, which were the right and the left, which as a result there's churban beis hamikdash. As a result, there's chet. As a result, there's galus. But also later, what came to rectify these, this was Hanukkah and Purim, which also the Satan was trying to prevent from happening. Because if he would have had his way and Binyamin wouldn't be born, there would be no Hanukkah, there'd be no Purim. Why? Because who does Mordechai and Esther come from? Mordechai and Esther come from Binyamin. Mordechai and Esther are descendants of Binyamin. Ish Yemini, as the Pasuk refers to him, Yemini, because Purim is on the right. Purim is Yemin. Purim is Netzach, that's the right foot. And Hanukkah is the left. So Purim, we know, comes from Binyamin. What about Hanukkah? So as the Ari HaKadosh tells us, every month corresponds to another Shevet. There are 12 Shvatim and there are 12 months. So this is the ninth month. We're in the ninth month now. Kislev is the Chodesh HaTeshi'i. And Binyamin was the ninth in the order of the way they traveled into the desert. According to the Ari HaKadosh, Kislev is Binyamin. So Kislev is Binyamin, that means Binyamin is Hanukkah. And where is that hinted in the bracha of Binyamin? Binyamin, when Yaakov Avinu benches the Shvatim, the last bracha he gives is to Binyamin, where he says, Binyamin Ze'ev Yitrov, Ba'boike Yoichal Ad, V'lo Erev Yechalek Sholol. That in the evening, he will divide the loot. What is that referring to? So according to one interpretation, Rashi says it means Purim. V'lo Erev Yechalek Sholol. That the Erev means in a time of Erev, in a time of concealment, as Rashi says, Af Mishet Tishka Shimshon Shal Yisrael, Al Yedei Nebuchadnezzar Shehiglein LeBovel. That's V'lo Erev. After Golus Bovel came Yechalek Sholol Shlal Haman, as base Haman Nasati Lester, as Rashi and Bayechi tells us that these three words, V'lo Erev Yechalek Sholol, is referring to the Nes of Purim. And at the same time, that's Hanukkah, because Hanukkah is the Yom Tov of Erev, as mentioned last week. V'lo Erev, when it's nighttime, when it's Mishatishka HaChama, Yechalek Sholol, you have the Sholol of Hanukkah, you have the Yom Tov of Hanukkah. In fact, we know that Hanukkah is the Hemshech of Yom Kippur, as we spoke, that it's the Gemar HaChasima. It's like the end, the last grace period that one could still do tshuva. You have till the last day of Hanukkah, the Gemara Chasima, so it's a hemshech of the Chasima of Yom HaKippurim, where it says, Lefnei Hashem Titoru. And we know that Purim is Kippurim. Purim is like Yom Kippur, so says the Tikkunei Zohar, Kippurim. So Yom HaKippurim, Purim and Yom Kippur are really one and the same. And Hanukkah is the hemshech of Yom Kippur, because it's the Gemara Chasima. So V'lo Erev Yechalek Sholol, these three words, which is both Purim and Hanukkah, is Begematria, Lefnei Hashem Titoru. Lefnei Hashem Titoru is the phrase that the Torah uses concerning Yom Kippur. So Binyamin is both. Binyamin is Hanukkah and he's Purim. So here we find an interesting thing. Right before Binyamin is born, so Yaakov Avinu comes back to Beisel as he promised he would. He builds the Matseva he said he would, but he did two things here. He poured wine and he poured oil, because it's Purim and Hanukkah, that's why. He pours wine, Purim's coming. He pours oil, Hanukkah's coming. Binyamin's coming. The 12th Shevet. So the Satan lost. Binyamin will be born. The Satan is trying to prevent Binyamin from being born. There'll be no Hanukkah, there'll be no Purim. And it goes further than that. Where is the Beis HaMikdash built? The Beis HaMikdash is built in the portion of land of Binyamin. That's where it is. Ubein Kseifav Shochein. Why was Binyamin Zeiche, as the Medrash asks, why was he privileged that the Beis HaMikdash should be built in his portion of land? Many answers given. One, he was the only one that was born in Eretz Yisrael. Like Hanukkah is the only Yom Tov that happened in Eretz Yisrael. Binyamin is the only one who was born in Eretz Yisrael. The rest were not. But there's another answer. And the other answer is, based on the Pasuk in this week's parasha, that when they came to Esav for the first time, they all bowed to Esav. But there's one person that didn't bow to Esav. Binyamin never bowed to Esav. As the Pasuk says here, Yaakov crossed the river with his wives, with his 11 children, and after he defeats the Malach, and he meets Esav, so they all bow. Then Yosef and Rachel, the only one who never bowed to Esav, the only one who never humbled himself to Esav. In fact, the Medrash actually says, the Medrash chastises Yaakov for humbling himself to Esav. He says he should not have. And had he not, we wouldn't have to humble ourselves to Esav today. Because Yaakov did it, Ma'aseh Avosim L'Banim, so we have to do it until Mashiach comes. But the Medrash actually scolds Yaakov that he should not have humbled himself so much to Esav. He said, Adoni Esav. He said, eight times Adoni. As a result, there were eight kings, says the Baal HaTurim from the Medrash, that ruled before we had a king, because Yaakov refers to Esav as Adoni eight times. So every one of the Shvatim bowed to Esav. The only one who never bowed was Binyamin. So therefore, the Beis HaMikdash, which is the place of Hishtachavo'ah, the Beis HaMikdash is the place that we prostrate ourselves. Today, as we say in all the Musaf, the davening of Musaf, we bemoan the fact that we cannot go to the Beis HaMikdash and bow and prostrate ourselves before Hashem and humble ourselves before Hashem properly, because we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. That's the place of Hishtachavo'ah. That's the place of bowing down. Why was Binyamin Zoyche that in his portion of land, the Beis HaMikdash is built, which is the place to bow down to Hashem? Because he never bowed to Esav. So he never was subservient to anyone else, only to Hashem. Therefore, the Beis HaMikdash is built in his portion of land. Chanukah is the Yom Tov of Hallel V'Hoidah, where we bow and thank Hashem. The whole Yom Tov is that. We say, the Mishnah says in Midos, that those 13 breaches that the Greeks made in the wall around the Beis HaMikdash, the Chashmonaim entered and they fixed the 13 breaches, and they were Mesaken, they instituted 13 Hishtachavo'os, 13 places where one should bow to Hashem and thank Hashem for the Nisim that he did for us. The Yevonim don't want us to recognize Hashem, and all the haters of the Jewish people and all the enemies of the Jewish people are trying to get us not to recognize that Hashem is the one God and that everything is from Him. Amalek, the Yevonim, whoever it is throughout the Doris and every generation, it's someone else. So the Yom Tov of Chanukah is the Yom Tov in which we're free now to bow to Hashem. The Yevonim are gone. And now we're back in the Beis HaMikdash, we're back in the place of Hishtachavo'ah, and that's the portion of the land of Binyamin, who he never bowed. Never bowed to Esav. So in these two Yomim Tovim, Chanukah and Purim, we don't bow to Esav. Purim, Asher Yishla to Ayehudim. Chanukah, we go into the domain of Esav. So that's the right and that's the left. Now, so with all of this, the question, though, that we asked before, why Bnei Yisrael is revealed for the first time, when we speak about Gid Hanosha, is really a very difficult thing. Because if Yisrael is referring to when Klal Yisrael are on a high, so we asked Chanukah, why do we say La'amcha Yisrael Losisa Teshua Gedoyla? Al Amcha Yisrael, what Yisrael? We weren't Yisrael, we were all the way on the floor, we were Yaakov, we were assimilating, we were reading Greek books, we were into Greek philosophy, and that's why there had to be a Nes of Chanukah to get us out of that. We didn't deserve it. So why are we called Yisrael? And why is Bnei Yisrael revealed during Gid Hanosha? Gid Hanosha is Tisha B'Av. So as we said before, and Tisha B'Av, what does the pasuk say about Tisha B'Av in Eicha? Hishlich mishamayim eretz tiferes Yisrael. Yisrael fell to the floor. There's no Yisrael. It's not Yisrael anymore. The Gemara says on that pasuk that Hoid is the Beis HaMikdash. Hoid means splendor, majesty. V'ha-hoid, zuhi Beis HaMikdash. So in Eicha we read how kol hayoyim dova. Dova is the same letters as Hoid. Al zehoya dove libeinu. A dove, a nida, a dove means sick, dove means weak. Al kein lanida hoya, so that's the opposite of hoy, that's the opposite of splendor. Or as the pasuk says in Daniel, hoydi nepach lamashchis. Because of the churban, there's no hoyd, it became dove. So it's certainly not Yisrael. If anything, it's Yaakov. It's Eis Tzori Hili Yaakov. So where does the Torah choose to tell us Bnei Yisrael for the first time? And it doesn't really belong here. As you see, the Gemara is very bothered by it. By Gid HaNosha, which isn't Gid HaNosha the mitzvah that corresponds, the lav that corresponds to Tisha B'Av? Because of all of this, there's Chet. Because of this, there's Churban. Because of this, Hishlach Mishamayim Eretz Tiferes Yisrael. Here's where it says Bnei Yisrael. And Miriam's not even born yet. So in order to understand it with one idea, basically the same question is asked, and we spoke about this a few weeks ago, the Gemara in Shabbos, Pei Tesa Midbeis, where the Gemara over there tells us that right before Mashiach comes, there's going to be a very, very dangerous moment, a moment where Chas V'Shalom, Klal Yisrael will face perhaps annihilation. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to Avraham Avinu when he says, Chotu Bonecho, your children have sinned. And Avraham Avinu is going to respond to that, and he's going to say, It's hard to imagine that, but he's going to say, Yimachu al kedushas shemecha, may they be erased. If they don't do what they're supposed to, then get rid of them. So Avraham Avinu is going to say that, imagine. So Hashem says, I don't want to hear from you. He's going to go to Yaakov Avinu. And Yaakov is going to say the same thing. So who saves the day? We spoke about this a few weeks ago by Arichus. Yitzchak. Yitzchak is the one, he's going to say to Hashem, what do you mean they're my children? They're not your children. Banecha chatu. Banayhem, v'loi banecha. And then he says something which is very difficult. He says, how could you say they're not your children? You called them Bini Bechayri Yisrael. They said Nasa Benishman. You called them Bini Bechayri Yisrael. So what do you mean? Now all of a sudden you don't consider them your children? There's a major question here. Bini Bechayri Yisrael, that was then when we said Nasa Benishman. That's true. But we're talking obviously about a time when the Jews are not doing what they're supposed to. They don't deserve the title Bini Bechayri Yisrael at that time. And yet Yitzchak is invoking, he's saying the pasuk of Bini Bechayri Yisrael. Yisrael is the name, again, that should be used only when Klal Yisrael are on a high level. So how could Yitzchak use that as proof that the Jews don't deserve to be annihilated, but we're not Yisrael? If we're not doing what we're supposed to, we're not Yisrael, Lechayru. If we take a look right after the Chet Ha'egel in Parshas Kisisa, we find an amazing thing here, which I've looked so far in the Mefarshim, and I haven't seen anyone that says this. So this is basically my own idea. I hope it's true. But you're allowed to be machadesh. You're allowed to say things. Like the Svarim, it says, Im shagisi Hashem yechaper. But this is, if you take a note, you'll take a look, you'll notice here that right after the Chet Ha'egel, Moshe Rabbeinu, unlike Avraham and Yaakov, doesn't say, okay, annihilate them. Hashem is ready to annihilate the Jewish people. In fact, Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, we'll start new from you. So what's Moshe Rabbeinu's response is no. Moshe breaks the luchos. And then Moshe Rabbeinu says this. He says, Zechor le'Avraham le'Yitzchak u'li'Yisrael avodecha. He uses the name Yisrael. If anything, he should have said, Zechor le'Avraham le'Yitzchak u'li'Yaakov. Especially, Klal Yisrael don't deserve the title Yisrael now. They just made an egel. He uses the word Yisrael. And he says, you swore and you promised that Klal Yisrael are going to be increased. And you told the Avos HaKadoshim that their children are going to be like the stars of the heavens. Now, that's one question. If we take a look in Parshas Ekev, where the Torah repeats the story. In Parshas Ekev, the Torah repeats the story of the egel. And there it says that Moshe Rabbeinu said, Zechor le'Avraham le'Yitzchak u'li'Yaakov. So what did he say? Did he say Yisrael? Did he say Yaakov? But really the answer lies, if you take a look closely in the two different psukim, they're obviously both true. Can't be that there's a stira here. He said both. Because really they were Yaakov at the time. But when it comes to a time, this seems to be the answer, it must be the answer, that when it comes a time, when Klal Yisrael are facing Rachmana Litzlan, a gezeira, like by Purim or Hanukkah, or a time after Chet Ha'egel, or right before Mashiach comes, where 70% of the Jews are intermarried, a time when Rachmana Litzlan, there could be a havamina that maybe the Jewish people deserve annihilation, then the name Yisrael is invoked. Then we bring out the pnimius of every single Yid, because every Yid really is part of Am Yisrael. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Daf Mem Dalet, an amazing Gemara, Chata Yisrael. There the Gemara says that Ochan, those who learn Navi know, the story of Ochan and Sefer Yehoshua, so he took from the Cherem, he took from Yericho, he took five items that we're going to see in next week's parasha, the story of Zerach. And as a result, he had to die. It was a whole story, how they figured out that it was him, they had to make a Goyal, and then he admitted, and there it says, Chata Yisrael. So the Gemara says over there, it's a famous Gemara, that a Jew who sins, afal pisha chota Yisrael he. That doesn't seem to fit what the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh says, that when a Jew sins, he's called Yaakov, he's not called Yisrael. And not only that, the other Gemara goes one line after the other, heaping on Ochan one chait after the other. If it's not enough that he stole from the Cherem, the Gemara says that he was boil a naira hamayrasa. Then the Gemara says he was moishach ba'ar lasai. One chet, he was a one chet after the other, like Rachmana Litzlan. What do we want from the poor guy? He did so. He took from the Cherem. Why are we looking for as many chatoyim as possible to heap upon him? Says the Holy Lubliner. Why? You know why? The Torah is coming to tell. The Gemara is coming to tell you that it doesn't matter what kind of sin someone did. It could be every sin in the book. he's still Yisrael. The Marsha actually says, the Marsha says, even someone who's over the Chamisha Kumshei Torah, which says that Ochon did, and a person who's over Al Kol HaTorah Kula, he's still Yisrael. If, would one have to be Machal Shabbos to save such a person's life? Yes. So obviously he's still a Jew. A Jew is a Jew. Chata Yisrael, meaning that when such a person reaches the point where there's really no hope for him anymore, he's did every Avera under the sun, then Yisrael is revealed. Then we try to be Ma'orer in him. We try to bring out whatever's left. We try to bring out that spark, which is Yisrael. So purposely, the Gemara, the Torah uses the word Yisrael, the Navi uses the word Yisrael, Chata Yisrael, Yisrael, Afmisha Chata Yisrael, who? Moshe Rabbeinu was doing the same thing here. He said Zachar LaAvram, look at the Pesukim, you'll see there's a difference. When it says, he says, remember Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, so it says, Al Teifen, we say this in Tachanun, Al Teifen El Kshi Ha'am Azeh, V'el Rishoy V'el Chatosoy. Don't look at their stubbornness and their wickedness. So there he says, Yaakov. He's telling Hashem, look aside, I know they're wicked. They did a terrible thing. So Zachar LaAvram, Yitzchak, Uli Yaakov. But in Parshas Kisisa, it doesn't say that. It says, Zachar LaAvram, Yitzchak, Uli Yisrael, Avadecha. Don't look at their wickedness. Hashem Nishbat Elohem Bach. You swore to our forefathers that Klal Yisrael will be forever. What's going on over here? There are two things. On the one hand, we fell to the level of Yaakov. But on the other hand, we deserve annihilation. So it's a matzav of pikuach nefesh. Then the name Yisrael has to be invoked. They say from the Panavizhirov, the Panavizhirov said, that we say in Tachanun, Shoymer Yisrael, Shemar She'eris Yisrael, then we say Shoymer Goy Echad, then we say Shoymer Goy Kodosh. This is what they say he said. I once heard this from Rabbi Foyer's father, Shlita, who was here once for Pesach, and he spoke, and he said over this, he said that the Panavizhirov said, I believe it was the Panavizhirov who said this, that there are three types of Jews. There's the Haredi Jew, there's the Dati Le'umi Jew, and then there's the secular Jew. So he says that the Haredi is the Shoyma Goy Kodosh, Kedusha, right, Haredi. Then there's the Shoyma Goy Echor HaMiyachdim, the Miyached, they daven, they go, but they're Dati Le'umi. And then he says, the secular Jew, that's the Shoyma Yisrael. It's interesting, from all the three, which one do we call Yisrael? The secular Jew. Shoyme Yisrael, Shemar She'eris Yisrael, V'al Yoivad Yisrael, Ha'omrim Shema Yisrael, which means all they do is they say, maybe they say Shema, that's the only thing they do, nothing else. That's also Shema, you don't say Shema Yaakov, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. We end Ma'irah, but Oyhev Amo Yisrael, Ha'boicha Ba'amo Yisrael Ba'ahava, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Even this is a Jew, that all he does is that he says Shema Yisrael. He puts on tefillin for the first time, and they tell him to say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and it's the first time he ever said it. He's a Yisrael, and he's part of Am Yisrael. And in a time when Rachmana Litzlan, Klal Yisrael perhaps deserve to be destroyed, that's when Yitzchak Avinu says, "You call them Bnei Bechayri Yisrael." Even though that was said when we, the truth of the matter is, Bnei Bechayri Yisrael was said in Parshas Shemos before we left Mitzrayim. We were on the 49th level of Tumah. We weren't on a high level then either. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Zachar LaAvram LiYitzchak Uli Yisrael Avodecha. The Chachamim who instituted the Al Hanisim Am Chanukah, they make it very clear. True, the Jews deserve to be called Yaakov, maybe even not that. There were many who had joined Hellenist culture and were misyavdim, and they were doing things they weren't allowed to do, and they were assimilating and so on and so forth, what was going on at that time. But what? How did they institute the Al Hanisim? That Hashem, at the end of it, you remember that we are Am Yisrael, Shoyme Yisrael, Shemor Sheiris Yisrael, Ve'al Yoivad Yisrael, Ha'oimrim, even if all they do is say Shema Yisrael. So here we can understand perhaps why. Where does the Torah reveal to us for the first time that we are B'nai Yisrael, not B'nai Yaakov, B'nai Yisrael, even before Binyamin was born? It's like as if the Malach was trying to make sure that we'll never get that title. He was trying to prevent Binyamin from being born. So if there's no Binyamin, there's no Bnei Yisrael. So where does Hashem call us Bnei Yisrael? Dafka by the Gid Anosha, where he's trying to prevent Binyamin from being born. So there shouldn't be the 12 Shvatim. There's no 12 Shvatim. There's no Bnei Yisrael. We're called Bnei Yisrael already. Perhaps because Rachel was already pregnant. But Pashas Rachel was already expecting Binyamin, so Binyamin's really there already. But even not, he's coming. There's going to be a Binyamin. Just go a few psukim later, you'll see Binyamin is coming. It's not going to happen. He's not going to prevent Binyamin from being born. He will not succeed in preventing a Hanukkah and a Purim. Yes, there will be a Churban. That's true. There's going to be a Churban. We are in a state of Golus now. We're in a state of Churban. But we do have the Hanukkah, we do have the Purim, these Yamim Tovim, where these Yamim Tovim teach that no matter where a Jew is, no matter where he has fallen, no matter what side he's on, there's a rope to hold on to, especially now as we get ready for the Yom Tov of Hanukkah. Not only that, but if we go further on in the parasha, in the story of Shechem and Dina, we see that the Pasuk says, Nevala Osasa B'Yisrael. What's the Lashon of the Pasuk over here? That when they heard what happened to Dina, they came. And the Pasuk says, Nevala Osa B'Yisrael. It's interesting that the same Gemara in Sanhedrin that talks about Achan uses this Pasuk, because there it says Nevala. So the Gemara compares, here it says Nevala Osa B'Yisrael, there it says it, so that Achan was Boil Anayra HaMayrosa. Similar to the story up here of Shechem and Dina. What Shechem did to Dina, what the Anshei Shechem wanted over here, was what the Yevonim did. The Rav Gedalia Shur in his Sfarim, in Or Gedalia, he writes that Golus Yavon, the story of Shechem and Dina corresponds to Golus Yavon. Most of the episodes that happened with the Avos, each one is a metaphor, each one represents a historical event that happened later on. So Yaakov has to deal with Esav, that's of course Golus Edoim. Yaakov dealing with Shechem, the story of Shechem and Dina that's always read in this eighth parasha right before we get ready for Hanukkah is what happened then in the time of the Yevonim when they also wanted to contaminate Klal Yisrael. They went into the Beis Hamikdash, Timu Hashmanim, like over here, the Timei es Dina Bitoi. And it's none other than Shimon and Levi. Levi, in fact, is the one who Matisyo comes from. In fact, this was their Bar Mitzvah Shetel. Rashi brings in Nozir, Chavtes Amid Beis, that Levi just became Bar Mitzvah here. That's how we know that a bar mitzvah is at the age of 13, because Levi was 13 here, and the Torah refers to him as Ish. We don't find anywhere else that someone younger is called Ish. This is the first time the person is called Ish at the age of 13. We'll learn from this pasuk over here, that he became bar mitzvah, and the Chiddush Arim says that was his bar mitzvah pshetel, that he paskin, he set up pshetel that the Anshei Shechem deserve Misa. There was a whole dispute. Yaakov didn't agree with them. Yaakov was upset. That Yaakov said, "You're antagonizing the nations. You're rebelling against the nations. How could you do this?" And their answer was, "Hachizayna yases achayseinu." Because what Levi did, this was an act of Hanukkah. What Levi does over here is like an act of Purim. Asher yishla tu ayehudim. When there's nevala osa bi Yisrael, when there's a gezeira on Yidden, when Rachmana Litzlan, Am Yisrael are in danger of being hit. What's happening over here is they want to become assimilated. They want to assimilate with us. They want to intermarry with us. So Shimon and Levi had to take charge, and they save the day, and they wipe out the entire Shechem, and Shimon rescues Dina and takes her out of captivity. And right after that, of course, they come to Eretz Yisrael, and Yaakov Avinu says, "Remove the idols, v'hitaharu, purify yourselves." Hanukkah is the Yom Tov of purity, but tiharu es mikdashecha. They wanted to contaminate. We found a jug of pure oil. They wanted to instill Tumah in Klal Yisrael. Chanukah is the Yom Tov of Tahara. As we mentioned last week, by the Mitzayra, it says, Zois Tihye, Tairas HaMitzayra, B'yoyim Taharasai, the Mitzayra who's out, and the Kayim brings him in, and then he has oil poured on his head, and it's on the eighth day, as we spoke last week, B'yoyim Taharasai. Taharasai is Begematria Chanukah with the Milu of the Isis. Because Chanukah is the Yom Tov of Tahara. Shemen is tahara. Shemen is purity. Shemen is always used to purify, as we see throughout Chumash and in all those parashas that have to do with the number 8, that Shemen is the liquid of purity. That's why the nes happened with Shemen, because they wanted to contaminate, so Hashem gave us a nes with Shemen, despite that we didn't deserve it. And it's interesting, because we learn in Parashas Nasai about a soita. A soita does not have oil on her mincha, on her flower offering. Why doesn't she have oil on her flower offering? As Rashi brings down from Chazal, because she doesn't deserve it. She sinned. And a sinner does not deserve that her carbon should be mehudar. It shouldn't be mehudar. It shouldn't be beautified. Shehashemen karui or, oil is called light. And what she did in darkness. on Hanukkah we deserve oil? What madrega were we on? Weren't we sinners? Yet we're called Yisrael. We were zeichet to shemen, even though the soita or the chayte does not have shemen put on their mincha. The nace happened with shemen. That means Hashem is taking us anyway. Hashem is having rachmanis on us anyway. That's matis yahu, matas Hashem. It's a gift from Hashem. Chanukah comes from the word chanina. Chanina means mercy. Hashem had mercy on us. So he was ma'oirer us. And that awakening brought out the fact that we are part of Am Yisrael, no matter what. Chata Yisrael, Yisrael, Afal Pisha Chata Yisrael, who? And then we got this great Yom Tov of Chanukah, which the Yom Tov of Chanukah is proof, if anyone needs proof, that no matter what happens, Hashem always saves us. We'll just end off with this chinuch. The chinuch tells us over here the reason for the mitzvah of Gid HaNosha, which Gid HaNosha, again, is not mentioned anywhere else in the Chumash but here. So by Gid HaNosha, it says the Sefer HaChinuch, this is a remez to Klal Yisrael, that despite that they have endured, I'll just translate it in English, many, many suffering throughout the exiles, throughout the empires, Miyad Ha'amim, Miyad B'nai Esav, they are confident that they will not be wiped out. They will last forever. And a Redeemer will come and take them out of their predicament. And this we remember by keeping to this mitzvah. The remez is the Malach battled Yaakov, and this Malach was the Tsar of Esav, and he wanted to be Oiker Yaakov from the world, he and his children, but he wasn't able to do it. Although he did pain him by touching his thigh, dislocated the calf. And so too, throughout history, the Goyim have caused us tremendous pain and suffering. But at the end, there was always a Yeshua. Like we find that Yaakov himself, after he left, when the sun rose the next day, he was healed and he was saved. And so too, Yizrach lanu Hashemesh shel Moshiach, v'yirpa'enu mitza'areinu v'yigoleinu amein b'herev mitzvah. So the mitzvah of Gid HaNosha is, refraining from Gid HaNosha is a reminder to us, it's chizik to us, it strengthens our emunah and our betochim, that just like Yaakov, v'yizrach loy Hashemesh, the sun shined and he was zeichet to be healed. Yaakov comes complete. The pasuk says, "Vayovay Yaakov Sholem." In this week's parasha, here's where he's coming back. In Vayetze, he's going out. In Vayishlach, he's coming back after 36 years of being away, 14 in hiding in the Beis Medrash of Eivor, 22 by Lavan, and then coming back. It's 36 years. So after 36 years, he comes back, and he's revealed. He comes back to Eretz. Vayishlach Loi Hashemesh. Loi is 36. And as we know that on Chanukah, we light 36 Neiros. There are 36 Masechtos of Torah Shebaal Peh. There are 36 hidden Tzaddikim. There are Lamed Vav Krisos in the Torah. There are 36 Averis that when one does those Averis, Rachman al-Islam, he can get Kores. But when he keeps, when he does not do those Averis, he's Zoichet to the opposite of Kores. He's Zoichet to Keser. Keser is equal to 620. Chanukah is mitzvah number 620. The last of all the mitzvahs. The final letter of the Aseres Hadibros, which is the Chaf, that last Chaf, Asher L'Re'acha, that's the last word of the Aseres Hadibros, is a Chaf Sofis. It goes down, like Hanukkah goes down below 10 Fachim. And that's also the Kaf HaYorech, the Kaf of the word Yerech. The last letter of the word Yerech is the Chaf. Says the Shalach HaKadosh. Shalach HaKadosh, this week's parasha says that Yerech stands for Yam Rokia Kisei. We know that tzitzis has to be blue because the yam is blue because it's a reflection of the rakia, which is a reflection of the kisei. So says the Shalach HaKadosh that the malach hashal kaf hayorech was trying to get the last letter of yorech, which is the chaf, that represents the kisei, because the Beis HaMikdash is mechuvin keneged the kisei. So what he's trying to do is he's trying to prevent us from having a Beis HaMikdash, which is parallel to the kisei. As we mentioned last week, that when Amalek and the enemies of the Jews are around, Hashem's throne is not complete. So it's not kisei, it's case, without an aleph. So with the geula and with the Yom Tov of Chanukah, with Zeicha, that Hashem's name is complete, his throne is complete. And as this parasha, the Haftorah, talks about the future, that's the Haftorah of Avadia. Avadia was a ger, Avadia was an Edomite, Avadia was a descendant of Esav, as the Gemara says, that Hashem chose a descendant of Esav, that he should prophesy the downfall of Esav. Mineu bei. Total hisapcha, turnaround. This same individual who was from Esav, he's the one who talks about the downfall of Esav. And that for Olam Hashem Baharziyah and Lishpet Eshar Esav, we will go into the Gvul of Esav, but then we will be able to go into the Gvul of Esav every day, because there will no longer be a left and a right, and there will no longer be an up and a down, and an outside and an inside, because everything will be Kedusha. The entire world will be permeated with Da'as Es Hashem, Molo Ha'oretz Deya Es Hashem, Kamayim La'yom Mechasim. The Gidah Nosha will be that which was dislocated will be put back into place. And there are those who say, although it's a difficult concept because we know that the mitzvahs of the Torah are forever, that the Isser of Gid HaNosha will no longer exist if the Mashiach will come. The Pasuk says, Ad HaYoyim HaZeh, as we mentioned before. It only says it over here, that you cannot keep to, you're not allowed to eat the Gid HaNosha till HaYoyim HaZeh. It means until the time of Zeh. Zeh means revelation. V'amah b'ayoyim ha'hu, hinei lekenu Zeh. Zeh, Hashem kivin v'loi, Zeh keli v'anveyu. That when there will be Zeh, that means when the Beis HaMikdash is back, so there's no churban, and the third Beis HaMikdash will be forever, then you'll be allowed to eat the Gid HaNosha, because the Gid HaNosha corresponds to Tisha B'Av. There's no more Tisha B'Av. Chanukah is the tikkun for Tisha B'Av. Tisha, the words Tish, Tovshin, Ayin, Hey. Tisha is Begamatria, Lamed Vav, Neiroiz, Chanukah. The Lamed Vav, Neiroiz, Chanukah. Chanukah is the Yomtif where we have the tikkun for Tisha B'Av. Because Tisha B'Av is the churban. Tisha B'Av is V'loi zochar Hashem hadoim raglov b'yoim apoi, says the Pasuk in Eichav. Hashem did not remember his Beis HaMikdash on the day of his wrath. And Chanukah is the yomtiv of Shemen Zayas, which Shemen Zayas, as we all know, is the liquid that enhances the memory. There's no forgetting on Chanukah. They wanted us to forget. L'hashkicham toirusecha. And that's why in Eichav we say, Al zeho yedove libeinu, and loma lo netzach tishkocheinu. Dove is hoid. Netzach, Hoyda Netzach, Chanukah, Purim, that which was marred, that which was affected because of the Gid HaNosha, with the right and the left legs, and because of that there's a churban, because of that there's a Tisha B'Av. So, Al Zeho Yedove Libeinu, Alei L'Choshchu Einenu, and then Lama Lo Netzach, Chanukah, Hoyd, Purim, Netzach, Tikkun of La'osid, Chanukah is Oyrei Shal Melech HaMashiach. So when that happens, when Mashiach comes, then Chanukah is revealed in its entirety, because Mashiach stands for Matlik Shmoinas Yemei Chanukah. What Mashiach will accomplish, we are zoichetu during the 8 days of Chanukah. What Mashiach will accomplish, we feel on that one day of Purim, but then it'll be every day. And then we will enter into the Gvul of Esav, because there won't be an Esav. At least there won't be the Esav that exists today. It'll be a pure Esav, because Esav will also be purified. As the Bala Tanya writes in this week's Likutei Torah, in Parshas Vayishlach, that Yaakov sent Malachim to Esav because he thought that Esav was already purified. Esav was sifted, because there will be in the future Esav, that there will be a good of Esav in the future that will be revealed. But it wasn't the time yet, obviously. It wasn't the time yet. It hasn't been the time for quite a while already since. But Yishlach Yaakov Malachim, because eventually Esav will be purified. The good in Esav, there is a good in Esav, and that will also join with us when the Geula comes, when we all be Zeichet to V'Hoysel Hashem HaMelucha, and spend this Chanukah in the Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi together with Mashiach Tzidkenu, and no more Klal Yisrael shouldn't know any Tzoros anymore, and we shouldn't need that Hashem should have to invoke the name Yisrael, because we don't deserve it, but Adarab, we deserve it, we should deserve it, and we should be Zeichet to the name Yisrael that should remain with us forever and ever, and may we be Zeichet to all the brachas and all the Yeshuas and all the refuahs that Chanukah brings with it. Have a good evening.